Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced.
Bring it!
Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And we're back with Alan Pierce, journalist, broadcaster, former BBC correspondent and co-author of Coma and Near-Death Experience, the beautiful, disturbing, and dangerous world of the unconscious. Before the break, Alan, we were talking about, you know, I was asking you why I've never heard about these stories, why this phenomena of drug-induced coma survivors has not been, you know, widely made known, and whether it was being deliberately suppressed by the medical community. So we were sort of in the midst of that conversation when we had to break. Is there anything else you wanted to add to that?
Well, yeah. The funny thing is, and we couldn't get our heads around this for ages, that no one has actually researched this subject properly before. No one's examined why people have been placed into coma, and no one's examined the events within coma, and also what happens to people post-coma, because they're never the same again. Part of the reason is that critical care today has become a conveyor belt of care, where everyone's so busy they don't get the chance to look over their shoulder at the product coming off the other end. They simply do not see the damage. If you've been on a mechanical ventilator, for example, within a coma, you've got terrible damage to your vocal cords. I mentioned that with Nick earlier. And when you come to, let's say, within your coma, from your coma, you're not in the position to discuss anything you've experienced with anybody. You're moved down the line invariably to some care facility. Everything that happens next comes as such a shock, the inability to hold a spoon. You can't stand up. You keep getting these appalling flashbacks. You don't recognize anybody. You've forgotten language. One person told me she didn't even recognize humans. So you've got this scenario, and when a doctor or a nurse is ever confronted with a patient, which is extremely rare, who presents these symptoms or talks of alternate life, that they're just too quick to dismiss these things as effectively a form of mental illness, as I mentioned earlier. Why no one's investigated this in terms of, is it a conspiracy? A large part of this is that when people come out of a coma, they've got these massive holes in their memory, they've got a shocking muscle wastage, joints have calcified, nerves have disconnected, and they just, I know, entirely on their own. And when they try to talk to somebody about it, the doctors and nurses will just simply say, oh, these are temporary blips. Your memory, don't worry about it. It will come back. As you move further down the line and you get to speak to other doctors and you mention your memory problems, they then start thinking you've got early onset Alzheimer's, and possibly you're unaware that other people have been through the same experiences as yourself, and you just think, yes, it's the luck of the draw. I've now got onset, early onset dementia. People don't seem to realize the vast damage that is being caused. And again, a lot of this, as I say, is because these are hospital-acquired conditions. And the people that need to know most, i.e. the staff in intensive care, appear to be the last people being informed or just even making an effort to find out what happens to their patients.
In the book, Coma and Near-Death Experience, there's one particularly disturbing story. It's a woman who experiences what seems to be an ongoing nightmare that, and I don't know how long she was in a drug-induced coma, perhaps weeks or months, but when she comes to, she recalls this living nightmare while in the coma that seemed to go on for years. Can you share that story with us?
Yeah, I mean, there's several like this within the book. Let me give the example of Isabel. Isabel is a medical professional. She works in one of the finest hospitals in Cape Town, South Africa. And she contracted COVID very early on in the pandemic. And this started turning to sepsis. So her colleagues said, I think the best thing we can do is to put you into a medically induced coma. And she was completely up for it. She was thinking, yeah, okay, fine. I don't want to remember any of this. Put me down. Well, Isabel wakes up within her coma, and this is a common thing that people say they woke up within their coma, as in, like, we fell asleep on the sofa, we just woke up, and here we are in this level of reality. Isabel wakes up within her coma and finds herself in an organ harvesting facility. She says she was kept there for 4 years. They learned how to grow her organs, harvest them, kill her, regenerate her, grow her organs over and over again. For example, she said she had a uterus removed 7 times. This is just one set of things that happened to her. She then listed a whole bunch of lives, one after another, all of which ended in murder or rape and murder or just some appalling event. And just one after another. She also said that she spent 10,000 years on the bottom and top levels of existence. Down on the bottom, it was all mild and funny creatures. And up at the top, it was all ones and zeros. And that she could flip between the two. She was utterly exhausted within her coma with all these events that she just wished she would die. And she found herself dying. And she found herself in a beautiful field of tall green grass, and the breeze is blowing. There's a horse nearby, and it's the most perfect summer's day. This is very clearly a near-death experience. And she walks for a while, and she finds some stairs going up into the sky, wooden, gnarled stairs. And she climbs these stairs, and she says she was 4 steps from the top when she heard her name being called. Isabel, Isabel, you have to come back. She said, I was so pissed off. I just stomped back down those stairs. Eventually, when she's out of her coma and she's on the road to recovery, she goes back to her ICU and she speaks to her colleagues and she tries to tell them about the events she experienced within coma. And they're like, oh yeah? Oh really? Oh, that's weird. And not taking it even remotely seriously. And these are doctors not taking seriously a colleague who's had these experiences, who desperately keen to tell them what's happened to her, and they won't listen. And if they won't listen to a medical colleague, they're not going to listen to a patient.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing Youth Activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Do the experiences of drug-induced coma survivors differ greatly from people who are in a coma as a result of some kind of a trauma or accident, brain injury, etc.? Do they have any experiences that are similar to drug-induced coma survivors?
Yeah, good question. They do appear similar within the book. I think two or three of the coma survivors were in a situation where one case, a lovely guy called Rory, he was in a home invasion and he got battered about the head with a hammer and he was in a spontaneous coma, as it were. And within that, he was having events. He did actually come to within the hospital, but he was what they call agitated. He was like fighting, desperate to pull all the tubes and things out of him, that they just put him back down again. Somebody else was in a motorcycle accident, and she went into a spontaneous coma, and she had events within that. And again, she came to within the hospital, was agitated, was then placed into a medically induced coma, and then had a whole range of experiences, pretty much like being in Alice in Wonderland in many respects. In other respects, she was entirely in the dark, completely conscious, unaware of her body or anything around her, but in the dark. And she was there for what felt like an eternity. When this happened to her, she'd only just turned 15, and she's in her mind calling out, "Mummy, mummy, please come and wake me up. I've been sleeping too long. Something is wrong." And this is just not understood. Doctors think it's a blank, but some people are paralyzed, you know, like locked-in syndrome, and yet they're completely conscious of events around them. And when that happens, oftentimes events within the hospital ward get transferred into some other kind of event, such as, and Isabel mentioned this, she said the nurses were no doubt cleaning her teeth, but to her mind, she was being held by a kidnapper who'd melted a toothbrush and inserted razor blades and was slicing into her teeth and gums. That's how she perceived just having her teeth cleaned. When people have a bed bath within coma, oftentimes that's perceived as a form of sexual assault or rape. And another thing that happens is doctors will talk over the patient, the coma patient, not aware that the patient in some cases can hear them. So they're saying things like, "I don't think she's going to survive the night. We'll try this one last drug, but I don't think her chances are good." No one wants to hear that. If you're going to discuss these things, do it outside. These things now, to me, are so blatantly obvious. I'm staggered that they're not obvious to the medical profession.
And again, these people are showing no or little brain activity while they're in a drug-induced coma?
Okay, so it's extremely rare, unless you've had a brain injury of some kind, that they monitor your brain within a medically induced coma. Exceptionally rare. One of the doctors that's been helping us with the book, Dr. Wes Ely, he's professor of medicine at Vanderbilt. Some time back, he was becoming concerned that his patients were dying, too many of them were dying within coma. And when he got to see them afterwards, he was really worried about what had happened to them. And the things that do happen, for example, he had a 35-year-old woman who's with his patient. She was a mathematical whiz, absolute genius. After her coma, when she went to see Dr. Ely, she couldn't even add up her checking account. Now, she had an impressive IQ of 140 prior to the coma. Dr. Ely had another test taken, and her IQ came up at 100, which is shockingly low. They then put her into an MRI scanner, and instead of the brain of a 35-year-old woman, she had the brain of an elderly woman with dementia. Parts of her brain had absolutely shriveled. And this is what's happening to people within coma. Part of the reason is lack of sleep, which seems ironic because coma effectively comes from an ancient Greek word meaning deep sleep. So from the get-go, everyone's thinking it's sleep. But you're not sleeping. When you switch the brain off, absolutely nothing happens within the brain. It's a bit like having a desktop computer and unplugging it from the mains and then expecting it to work. The brain will not go through its circadian rhythms. As a result, it will not experience REM sleep. When Dr. Wes Ely put his patients on an EEG brain scanner, he was horrified to see that they were flatlining, as close to death as you could get. He had no idea people were being sent down to those depths.
So the brain is unconscious, if you will, or completely offline, but the mind, wherever that resides, is incredibly active.
Incredibly so, because the medical world seems to think that the mind and the brain are the same thing, or somehow that the brain produces the mind, although these are only theories that have never been proven. We are clearly showing here that somebody who would be flatlining on an EEG brain scanner is having a rich inner experience. It might be a lovely one, or it might be something ghastly like Isabel's experiences. But these things are happening, and no one understands it, and no one has investigated it until we came along. Part of the reason is no one takes it seriously. Because I'm a journalist and B's a PI, we came to the subject with completely open eyes. Whereas modern science, materialistic science as it's called, actually limits itself to only things that they can weigh, measure, slice up, and put under a microscope. Consciousness, which they can't do any of those things too, is best ignored. So when people have events within coma, they can't explain. They just pass them over. They fob them off, which is the best way of describing it.
Did anyone in the book have a predominantly, let's say, beautiful experience while in a drug-induced coma? Were they in paradise?
Yeah, many are. And I think the longer you're in one, and perhaps the closer you get to death, the lovelier it will become. One of the nicest stories in the book, a hospital chaplain from Birmingham, Alabama, Corey Agricola, fantastic guy. He was working at the UAB hospital in Birmingham, and it's a vast place, and he thinks that over the years he's been there, he's ministered to something like 15,000 people. That's bereaved families, people are approaching death and all the rest of it. And he was burning out. He completely had it, to be frank. And he got some mystery infection. They didn't know what it was. They put him in a coma. He went to heaven. Okay, he's Christian. But he went to heaven, he didn't see God, he didn't see Jesus, he didn't see anything like that. He just saw a mountain of light. He could hear praise music, beautiful music that he'd never heard before or since. And he just had the most exquisite time. And he said that God was showing far more grace as you approach death than you could ever possibly imagine. That this is easing one's passing. It's the most beautiful experience. When he came back and recovered, and he actually recovered very well, he's now able to minister to people within hospital, families who've got a patient within coma. He can talk to them about that, talk to them about, you know, what you can do in the room. In many cases, you can talk to them and hold their hand. They will know. Other cases, they won't have the first clue. But he's now able to tell people, particularly those who are approaching death, what he's seen. He can give them an eyewitness account.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it. Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced.
Bring it!
Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.